O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In 1999, a popular magazine held an interview with former wrestler and governor of Minnesota, Jesse the Body Ventura. And he said the following regarding religion. He said, "Organized religion is a sham and a crutch for weak-minded people who need strength in numbers. It tells people to go out and stick their noses in other people's business." His comments were directed towards a discussion that related to religion's position on legalized prostitution. Well, naturally, Christians took exception to Mr. Ventura's comment. How dare he tell us that we are weak-minded and that our faith is a crutch? But is Mr. Ventura correct? Is faith merely a crutch? Is this an accurate characterization of Christianity? Well, I want to propose to you and to Mr. Ventura, if you happen to watch this message, that a Christ follower does not cling on to a crutch. Rather, a Christ follower clings on to a cross. You see, a crutch, whether the word is used to describe a device, for like my broken leg, or actually in my case right now, gout in my foot, or illustratively, right, the internet is a crutch for book research. In any case, it helps to prop the self up, keep one from falling over. A crutch will help continue your way to where you are going. A crutch can bring relief and comfort and to assist and serve. A cross, on the other hand, in the context of Christian faith, is death to self-will. A cross forces a choice to choose a narrow road. A cross can be very uncomfortable. It can be dangerous. And it must be carried by the one who follows Jesus. The way of the cross leads us to salvation. It leads us to God. So I'd like for us to open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 9. This was our gospel reading that our deacon read this morning. And I'd like to bring some clarity to this passage that Jesus had brought to our attention here. So that's Luke chapter 9, verse 18. Before we get to Peter's confession, I want to start with what Jesus said to his disciples that really stands out and is the theme of our message this morning, which is Jesus' invitation into his world of radical commitment. Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." I think this statement really gets to the heart of our journey with Jesus. It serves as the 1-2 punch to asking the question, where am I at with my faith? Are you a committed follower of Jesus? Okay, so let's get back to our opening scene. Jesus is praying with his disciples and he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" Now, earlier in this chapter, when Jesus said this, I want you to kind of understand the context of this. Jesus was preparing his disciples for mission and to preach the kingdom of God, and he was telling about healing and that sort of thing. And Herod had learned of someone who was supposedly raised from the dead at that time. Was it John the Baptist? Was it Elijah the prophet or one of the prophets of old? Well, it certainly wasn't John the Baptist because Herod obviously had him beheaded. But he understood that there was something brewing, right, that might actually come in conflict with what he's trying to do. Herod, that is, right? So the scriptures say that the news left him perplexed. Isn't that interesting? The disciples heard those same rumors about these crowds that were talking about Jesus, not knowing who he was. But they rejected those rumors. That's why Jesus says to them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" Peter answers the group, for the group, "You're Christ. You're Christ of God." The disciples, unlike Herod, confess that Jesus is Messiah. "You are the Messiah." Now, upon their confession, Jesus then strictly charges and commands them to don't tell no one, because the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised on the third day. What an odd request. But keep in mind, they just confessed Jesus as Christ, as God's anointed one, right? Jesus is all about the purpose of his Father. And he did not want to create any confusion with those who may have misunderstood him to be a nationalist leader to come and conquer Rome. Can you understand why now Herod might be a little bit, concerned about this, right? Jesus indeed is ushering a new kingdom, but not in the way in which many perhaps thought him to overcome the world. Therefore, Jesus makes clear to his disciples, "I'm going to suffer, be rejected, be killed, and on the third day be raised from the dead." Whether the disciples truly understood what this really meant for Jesus, and they likely did not. And yes, even though they confessed him to be Messiah, it certainly was far from what they may have speculated about his missional purpose prior to their confession. So Jesus is sharing with his disciples his identity and what he is about. He is God's anointed, and he's about his Father's business. Happy Father's Day, right? From this point onward, Jesus shifts his emphasis of being Messiah and his mission to discipleship. The conversation that began with confession, which is meaningful and necessary because it gets to the issue of who Jesus is. "Now that you know that I'm Messiah, this is what I'm requesting of you." Like, what's next? "Now that I know who you are, what's asked of me now?" This is what he says. And it says Jesus was speaking to all of them, not just those who were in the context of this scripture passage, the disciples. That word "all" is meaning all of us. This is a question for all of us. This is a statement to all of us. "If anyone would come after me, that is, be a disciple, let him deny himself." So what does it mean to deny the self? Since we are born, we have all come to construct an identity of ourselves. Much of it is shaped by our experiences with our family, our friends, and people of influence, and mostly the world at large. I can remember finishing law school and having great ambitions for what I wanted to do. I realized, however, through much prayer and contemplation, that pursuing a legal career was not God's purpose for me. Not that going to law school or pursuing a dream is bad, but while I was becoming a disciple of Jesus, I had to learn to deny those ambitions, those things that would stand in the way of God's purpose. Not just a legal career, but anything that would stand in the way, to deny those things and follow Jesus. In doing so, I was in effect engaged in a new identity, not one rooted in my own self-desires, but centered on the community of God and following of Jesus. From self-denial, Jesus says to pick up our cross daily. You know, it's only in Luke's gospel that the word "daily" is added. It's to emphasize the commitment of what it means to be a disciple. This is the hallmark, if you will, of one who is dead to self, dead to the things of the world, and made alive in the kingdom and purposes of God. To take up one's cross daily means there will be times of rejection, times of hardship. It means going all the way for Jesus. It is a serious inquiry to radical commitment. But you might ask, well, Father Jason, does this mean I have to spend my whole life suffering or go without food for long periods of time and to demonstrate my love and commitment to Jesus? No, that's not what that means. Taking up our cross does not mean we are masochist. Harder does not mean we are holier. I did not refuse to become a lawyer so I could punish myself for God. I refused to be a lawyer so I could become what God intended for me to be, to fulfill his purposes. I chose to obey his will, not mine. We do not suffer for suffering's sake. St. Paul reminds us in his message to the Philippians, I've suffered loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Poo, right? In order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Paul continues by saying, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and the glory in their shame, and with minds set on earthly things. Therefore, Jesus says, for whoever save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. This radical call to commitment is a pledge to give all to Jesus for his sake, and that while we give ourselves to the Lord, we find a new identity that is formed and shaped, that is not of this world, as read in John's gospel. We are aliens, sojourners, truth bearers, and by the grace of God, we follow Jesus and ought to expect nothing less than opposition. Again, not because suffering means we are holier, but because we must be unreservedly committed to the purposes of God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this in his book, The Cost of Discipleship. Christianity could never be merely intellectual theory, doctrine divorced from life, or mystical emotion, but always it must be responsible, obedient action, the discipleship of Christ in every situation of concrete everyday life, personal and public. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? To begin, we confess Jesus as Christ. He is the Lord. We confess it. We acknowledge that he is indeed the anointed one of God. We then deny ourselves, lose the identity that shaped us to move in a direction of self-will, to bear a new identity formed by and found in Jesus. And we take up our cross. A Christian is to put to death the old man and to be raised anew, to follow Jesus daily, to be completely devoted to God's purposes and plans, and that we participate in kingdom work. And we follow Jesus wherever he may lead us. We do not seek to suffer for the sake of suffering, but that does not mean we will be free from it either. There will be times of testing, rejection, and hardship. And it may feel as though holding on to your cross is too heavy. But what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? So I want to ask you, and you too, Jesse, is faith a crutch? When Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Does that sound like a crutch to you? the most radical thing we can do is answer yes to Jesus. What's getting in the way of you picking up your cross and following him today? I want to encourage you, though you may find picking up your cross a momentous act, you will never find greater joy in knowing that Jesus is the one who is leading the way. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for reminding us that we belong to you and that you have instructed for us to take up our cross and follow you. Help us to do this, Lord, to be faithful in our witness to you, and that while we may suffer or experience adversity in this life, that we too may be a witness of your love, and that, Lord, as you come into our world to be like us, help us to become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.